Welcome everyone to episode 3 of the Be Unapologetically Authentic podcast. In this episode, I explore the concept of success and how it interplays with authenticity. And I'm so looking forward to having this conversation with you. So let's get started. The pursuit of success is a personal one for many. It's often considered elusive by some and overrated by others. What then is the role of success as we look at it from within, from an authenticity lens? And we can't really have a conversation of success without first looking at what success means or what the definition of success is. And for me, I rarely have a conversation about something without really looking at how, I guess, society and others define the topic that we're looking at. So I like to Google the definition or search on the internet for the definition of the topic that I'm talking about, just to get a better understanding of perhaps maybe what others are thinking as well. And so success, as defined by the internet, is the accomplishment of an aim or purpose. Another definition, or definition B, as the internet or as Google describes it, is defining success as a person or thing that achieves desired aims or attains fame, wealth, etc. But here's something interesting that I found on the internet. They, along with definitions A, B, C, D, etc., for success, the internet has actually included an archaic definition of success. And it's really interesting. I never knew that the internet included or even had an archaic definition of words, and maybe it's not for everything, or at least it wasn't in my awareness, but the archaic definition of success was something I thought was really interesting. And they have defined archaically, I guess, the old way of defining success as the good or bad outcome of an undertaking. And what I found really interesting is the stark contrast between the current definition versus the so-called archaic definition of success. Going from one's ability to achieve fame and wealth to one's ability to reach an outcome of an undertaking. Because if you look at the archaic definition of success, it really doesn't matter whether or not the outcome is good or bad, meaning whether you've achieved what you were looking to do or you didn't achieve what you were looking to do, or as we call them, failures, right? And I put that in quotes. It doesn't matter, because the fact that you made an effort, the underlying or perhaps the not spoken part of that definition, is that you made an effort, you took the action, and that in and of itself is success, which I absolutely love this definition. I absolutely love and resonate with this definition. And what I find really interesting, though, is that as the years have come, because, you know, archaic means old and current is now. So as the years have evolved and as individuals and humans have evolved, success has now incorporated a level of fame slash wealth into its definition. But if we look at it from an archaic, quote unquote, or historical perspective, success really doesn't have any fame or wealth attached to it. It is what humans or ourselves, as we have evolved, have interpreted success to mean, which I find extremely interesting, because when did this evolution of fame and wealth get integrated into this definition of success? And why is it that only now have people started to move away from this definition, right? Because now we're starting to see more people question the definition of success and come to that realization on their own that success doesn't require a good or a bad in order to qualify as success. And so what it leads me to believe, and as I sit here thinking about it often, is that success is so widely influenced by the things around us and by the people around us and just basically by our surroundings. And rarely, if ever, are we asked to or taught to look at success from our own lens, from our own perspective. And then what this then creates, because we're looking at it instead, because we're not looking at it from a personal lens, we're looking at it from an alleged or supposed universal definition of success that includes fame and wealth, right? it then creates this false sense of competition that we have with others. And more importantly, a severe discontent with our own life. Because when we are comparing and competing against others, we're always losing. Because quite frankly, that is how our mind is programmed to think. Because our human brains are never programmed to think about or to focus on what we've already achieved, what we've already accomplished, what we've already done, regardless of outcome, right? Good or bad, etc. We're always looking at, instead, our minds are programmed to do and focus on the 5% that we haven't achieved, that we haven't focused on, that we haven't been able to acquire yet, right? Because for those of you who are listening, there are a certain level of privilege that we have achieved in our life. And yet, we haven't focused, if we're feeling this discontent, if we're feeling this comparison, if we're feeling this level of competition with others, then we haven't focused enough on our own definition of success. Instead, we've been working towards this definition of success that's been provided by others. And let's take it even a further step back, because kind of continuing with the original train of thought that I had, going back all the way to childhood, I love my parents very much. They were very ambitious. They provided a very safe home for us, but they also had very high expectations of what we were to accomplish in our lifestyles as well, okay, in our lives as well. And so ever since I can remember, my parents have at the very the closest part of me, right, and in my surroundings, my parents have provided this definition of success. So for example, I was, in order to be successful as a child, I had to be obedient, I had to listen, I had to do my chores, I had to do my homework, get good grades at school, and be able to attend an Ivy League college. And quite frankly, I did all of that. So in their eyes, they were successful as parents, and I was successfully, right, meeting their expectations of me, right? And it's interesting because I didn't even think of it until just now, but this definition of success was also for them, not necessarily 100% for me. It was their success as parents, right? Because if I checked off all of these things, all of these boxes on the list, I was able to prove that they were successful parents. And I was also a successful child because I was able to, I was accepted into an Ivy League university and attended an Ivy League university. I came out of school, I graduated, and I went into the corporate professional space. I went to law school, again, another check mark, right? To meet that definition of success for both my parents as well as for myself. Okay. Now, it doesn't end there, does it? Because once we go into work, once we go into the corporate space, there's another level and another set of criteria that I have to meet in order to be successful as an employee of my employer. And what that is it's defined within the parameters of the company, meeting the culture of the company, being able to perform according to their expectations, according to the job title, job function, and the responsibility/tasks that I am assigned. And in order for me to be successful within corporate or within Wall Street, which is the industry that I'm in, I have to be of a certain caliber. I have to meet certain criteria, both from a soft skills perspective as well as a technical skills perspective. And unless I possess these and demonstrate these skills, I am not able to, or I will have challenges in order to be promoted to that next level up. And the goal within corporate is to always go to that next level up. So within finance or within banking, it's to become a managing director or a partner. Just like in law firms, you work towards being a partner. And you constantly work towards these goals that are given to you. And if you are driven and you're a professional and you're ambitious, rarely, if ever, are we encouraged to think about what these goals mean to us, what our goals are, other than to do well at work so that we can get recognized for the work that we do and be compensated for the work that we do. And up to a certain point, it works, for lack of a better word, it works because we go towards all of these things, right? We're always working towards that next goal. And it's in finance and, you know, maybe in other industries as well, where, and, you know, this is the phrase that comes to mind, is that you're only as good as your next transaction, as your last deal. And even then, you're working towards the next deal and the deal after that, because quite frankly, having one deal is not going to solidify your success or your career at work. It's a constant, I guess, evolving goal, right? It's a fluid goal. You move from one to the next to the next. And rarely do these performance management programs ever ask for your personal goals. I mean, they do want to know your personal goals in terms of how it benefits the firm, but rarely do they ever ask for your personal goals. For example, I'm looking for fulfillment. I'm looking for contentment. I'm looking for ways to give back to society. Rarely is that ever integrated. I'm looking to be a better person. When was the last time we saw that in a performance management assessment? It's always focused on. So the yearly review process, formal, and then we have the mid-year review, and then we have the goal setting review. Rarely is it ever encouraged for individuals to think outside of their career goals. Instead, the goals are given for you, the success is defined for you, and you are basically expected to either meet expectations, exceed expectations, or if you're not doing that, then you are not qualified to work at this company and you are not considered successful. You're considered a failure. You're considered not good. And then so you either then get removed from the company or you leave on your own, right? Because it's made clear that you're not fitting into that company. And so this level of success has been defined for you once again. At least it has been for me. Perhaps in the company that you work for, it's a little different. But based off of my 20 years in corporate, this has been the way that it's worked for me and the way that I've seen it work for others. Now, some individuals are also expected, quite frankly, it's not said, but in order to make it in the corporate realm, you're also expected, from a soft skills perspective, as I had said, you're also expected to behave a certain way. You're expected as a female to behave a certain way. You're expected as an Asian female to behave a certain way. And if you move outside of the mold, you're taking a chance. There are some individuals, there are leaders within the firm who are appreciative of the differences that you bring. And there are others who are not so much because it creates more work for them. And yet, the individuals, again, in order to be successful, are always expected to meet and to check off the criteria that's been established for them. So where in this world of ours, especially as we work and you know, we take on all of these responsibilities, where in this world of ours are we ever encouraged to take the time to think about what it is that we want, what it is that we truly desire, what our goals are, what success really truly means to us? And this is where I see a lot of my clients struggle with, right? Because they have been working and working really hard and successfully putting that time in to get to this place where it looks really good from the outside. They've achieved a great title. They've risen up the ranks in corporate. They're making really great money. But yet, they don't really have an idea of what it is that they're looking to achieve, what they truly desire. And to them, it feels empty. And so they keep looking and they keep looking and they keep working towards that next milestone that others have defined for them, thinking that that next milestone will bring forth the happiness, the contentment, that emotional well-being that they've been looking for, yet they don't really know that, right? Because they've never really felt it before. So it's kind of like this concept of the hungry ghost that one of my coaches had explained to me. And it's just such an appropriate term, because it is this ghost, this person who eats and yet never feels satisfied. And so when we do not take the time to look at what it is that that our success means, that if we don't take the time to define success for us, it is basically like we work towards that next milestone. We work, we seek, we keep looking and working and getting and achieving, and yet it still feels empty. And then we think that, and then what happens, at least for me, it did. What happens then is that we think there's something wrong with us. Right? Because isn't that six-figure salary supposed to bring me joy? Isn't that nice house supposed to bring me comfort? Aren't my kids supposed to make me happy? And just a side note, kids aren't meant to make you happy. Just, you know, saying. And then we keep looking and we think, well, if they're not doing that, then there must be something wrong with me. What is wrong with me? And the answer is nothing. There's nothing wrong with any of us. There's nothing wrong with any of us. The problem is that we have never taken a look at success from an authenticity lens, from our own lens, from what it is that we truly desire, from what it is that we choose to have in our lives. Instead, we're told you need a big house, you need the white picket fence, you need the 2.5 kids and the 7-figure income and the Range Rover in the driveway and the fancy vacations to wherever, right? That these are the items that are going to make you happy. And if you don't have that, then, you know, you're missing out. And social media, quite frankly, perpetuates this problem. Because you see all of these people online in social media and you see how quote unquote happy they are because they're smiling, they're laughing, and they're in these beautiful locales and wearing beautiful clothing and having the time of their life. But what we don't see is, quite frankly, for a lot of these, and I'm not saying that this is for every one of these, but I'm saying that this is for a lot of the individuals out there, what we don't see is the emptiness, the hungry ghost that sits within. And so what then? So then we start to compare and we start to think that this pie of abundance is limited. And then we start to compare how, you know, Johnny Smith got the promotion, but is Johnny Smith really that good? Because, you know, you saw Johnny Smith when he was at his worst and you've seen that he's not that great and so on and so forth. And then you start to make judgments. And these judgments come, quite frankly, not because Johnny Smith deserves the judgments. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, whatever. But truly the source of these judgments are the feelings of us, the hungry ghost from within. Because not once have we sat down to look at what it is that would satiate that hunger for us. Because maybe, you know, yes, it would be great to have that Range Rover. It would be great to have a beautiful vacation. It would be great to whatever, travel, you know, in a private jet. That would be awesome. But that is an ethereal feeling, and it's not true fulfillment. That true fulfillment comes from the emotion, right, that these things, that these material things on the outside really bring. And if we really look at it, let's just take my example for perspective. My parents worked really hard and they wanted us to work really hard for financial stability. But what does financial stability really mean to them and to us? What is having or making 6 figures or 7 figures or 8 figures? What does that truly mean? For some, it means freedom. For others, it means a level of measurement of wealth. But wealth can be measured by more than the number of dollars or the number of figures in your bank, because there are many ways we can all be wealthy. For some, and quite frankly, is financial stability, does it really exist? Because for those of us who lived through the Great Depression or even 2008, financial stability is not really stability. And the only true thing that we can count on is ourselves. And so if we haven't really looked at ourselves from in terms of a success, then what is it that we can count on? Because quite frankly, everything around us goes poof in a minute. It can go poof in a minute, right? And we've seen that happen over and over again. And we hear it over and over again as well, is that change is the only constant in our life. And things come and go at the drop of a dime. Our life comes and goes in a drop of a dime. And we've seen that happen on the news. We've seen that happen to people around us. Life is not eternal. And the things that we have in this lifetime are not eternal. And thank goodness for that, quite frankly, because, you know, the things that I had back then are not the things that I have now. And the things that I have now will not be the things that I have back then. Instead, it will change. And that's the one thing that I honestly wish I knew back when I was younger, is that our definition of success will change too. And this definition of success that we have created will change. You know, I remember back when I was like six, or, you know, as a child, I really think it's 6 years old, because that's the number that rings true for me, is that, you know, I wanted to be a VP, vice president. For those of you with, you know, not familiar with the corporate lingo, I wanted to be a vice president at a large corporation by the age of 25. Like, where did I come up with this definition from? It's so random. And it means absolutely nothing, quite frankly. And not only is it unrealistic for, you know, it was unrealistic for me, but it's not really, it comes from this random, like, idea. This, like, thought that, oh, that would be fun. But it wasn't fun, because what happens then is that I'm working towards this unrealistic idea of success for me and judging myself based on a childhood idea or definition of success. That's crazy. And I think sometimes, you know, we forget that as working moms, our definition of success evolves too. And this was something that I had shared once when I was talking to a group of professional women, was that as a working mom, our definitions of success evolves as our lifestyle evolves. And so, you know, when we are not, when we were single, when we had 24 hours that we could dedicate to the job, if that's what you wanted to do, by all means, great, right? But as our priorities change, because we now have kids, we now have families, then the definition of success changes too. And that for me had changed too, because now my focus when I became a working mom was to be able to continue to have to go along my career trajectory and still be available for my kids. And quite frankly, it was a balancing act. It's always fluid. So like my definition of success today could have been to get home for my child's PTA conference or parent-teacher conference, whereas tomorrow it would be to finish my project on time. And that was something I had to learn, not to judge myself on, you know, this definition of success of trying to prove that I'm not lazy, trying to prove that working moms can do it all. Yeah, we can do it all, but each day requires a different level or a different definition of success, and that's okay. And that was something that I learned to adjust and assimilate to as well. And it's really interesting as well too, because what I think we fail or we forget to recognize within ourselves is that our definition of success, when we look at it from the cross and when we stand there at the crossroads of authenticity and success, that definition really sits within our heart and what is important to us at that time. And also what it is that we're choosing to create for our lives at that time. And when we're not really doing that, what then happens is that we will get carried away by comparison and trying to fit into everybody else's definition of success. And that's crazy, because if you look at everybody else's definition of success, what then happens is that we fit ourselves into this mold that others have created for us. And why would you want to do that when you don't know who it is that created this definition, right? Because quite frankly, what happens is that this definition, these check boxes that other people have created, is that it's based off of their own stories. It's based off of their own limiting beliefs. And this is based off of how they think you should behave. Whereas, you know what? What I've discovered was that when I was trying to do that, I was trying to fit into that 2x2 box that they had created, it honestly never felt good. And this is where I felt frustrated. This is where I felt hopeless. But then when I started to find my definition of success, when I started to look for it and be able to understand it and work towards that, it felt totally different. Because what I discovered about myself is that my definition of success is 10 times more bigger, way bigger than what others have defined for me. And that's what created this discontent, because I always knew I could do more. I always knew that. And yet I couldn't do it because other people couldn't see that about me. And that's okay. But I saw that about me. And it wasn't about trying to fit in with everybody else. It was about stepping into my own. And I think that's really what was so important, for me at least. And that really what was the game changer for me, was that when I recognized that my level of success didn't fit, and that's okay. Now, don't get me wrong, we live realistically, and I have to be realistic as well, in the sense that, you know, we have to, there is a coordination with society's expectations as well, correct? But when it comes down to it, if it's the difference between society's and mine, I'm going to go with mine. I'm not going to fit into that box. I'm choosing not to fit into that box because I know that that box cuts off my arms, it cuts off my neck, it cuts off my limbs, and then I'm just like this little box, like everybody else, that nothing, and there's nothing different about me. And I've literally cut myself off and made myself smaller so I can fit into that box, which is really uncomfortable, to be honest, if you really think about it, right? And so what is it then, if you are feeling lost, if you have made strides in your career, if you've been feeling, you know, if you've achieved everything you have been expected to achieve, if you have risen in the ranks of corporate, if you have made sufficient money, and, you know, of course we can always make more, if you have met that paper definition of success, and yet you're still not feeling it, not sure where to go, right? Then what is it? What can you do? At now, what is it that you can do? What can you do now at this junction? And I'm going to share with you this tool that I have every single one of my clients do when they come to me because they're feeling lost, because they're feeling frustrated that their career hasn't gone fast enough. And on a side note, the career and the timing is our ego. It's not about how fast our ego wants it to go because we need to prove something, right? That's not how it works. And so here's the tool that I share with all, that I basically work with, that I ask all of my clients to do. And that is to sit down and ask themselves, or ask yourself, what does success mean to me? What is my definition of success? And it's such a simple question, but the thing is, 100% of the time, basically, every time I've asked my client to do this, or I've asked my client this question, and they come back and they're like, oh, I don't know what my definition of success is. Well, that's great. Now's the time to think about it. Because when you work and you're putting in all of this effort and you're taking action, and yet you don't know what your definition of success is, it's basically you're running around like a chicken without its head. And I can work with you and I can give you all this guidance and I can, you know, like we can have all these conversations, but none of that would matter because it's almost like you're trying to read a map without knowing where you're going. And if you're into adventure, that's fine. But if you're looking at it from a different lens, meaning like you're looking at, you know, why is it that I'm feeling lost and confused and, you know, hungry all the time, right? Despite everything that I've achieved already, it's because you're looking at a map, but you don't know where you're going. you're like taking Route 69, you're taking, I don't know, Route 22, and yet it's not taking you to your destination, right? It's not getting you to where it is that your soul that you want, that you're craving. And that's because you don't know where you're going. Now imagine once you defined your destination point, aka your definition of success, how much easier it would be for you to get there and how much more effective and useful that map would be, right? Because at the end of the day, that's really what is going to take you there. And so today I leave you with this. The intersection between success and authenticity all boils down to one word. And that is you. And to one person, and that is you. And to one thing, and that is you. And so it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. It doesn't matter what anyone else is saying. It really only matters what it is that you choose to create for your life. And I encourage you, if you haven't done it recently, to take a look at what it is, what is your definition of success? And it's been about 31 minutes, so I'm going to end here for today. And I thank you so much for listening. And I'd love to hear your feedback. And join me in the next episode as we talk more about success and looking and tuning in within. Thank you, guys. And for those of you who have liked this episode, who have resonated with what we shared, what we talked about today, please like and subscribe. And also, please share with your friends so that we can get the word out there and have more individuals join us at the intersectionality of success and authenticity. Thank you.